Hello, and thank you once again for joining with us as we come together for our blether and then our online worship. There's a few intimations about what we're going to do over the summer about the blether and online worship. But before we get there, we'll hear what's happening around the Benihy Churches Together group. No offense if anybody's taken by me saying that, but that's how I'm calling it in our congregation, so I hope you don't mind me using that today. We're going to start off with hearing what's happening at Eti Midmar and across to Sheila M.
Hello, and it's really good to be here. Of course, Sunday coming up is the 29th of May, and it's also a fifth Sunday in the month. And one of the great advantages of being part of Benihy Churches Together is that on the fifth Sunday of the month, where there's a fifth Sunday, we're going to all have joint worship together, which will also be live streamed. So our first fifth Sunday joint service will be at Ech Church at 10:15 on Sunday. And then I think we look forward to our next one at Kintore at the end of July. So we look forward very much to welcoming our younger members of Sunday schools from our different churches and also friends, old and new, as we gather at Echt. And now it's over to Stella.
Thank you, and good morning and welcome to everyone. One of the joys of our Benihy Churches Together is the pop-up choir. So hopefully we'll have sung in great gusto this morning, as I think there's a piece done by the choir. But that's been a real joy to have some music that we can use in our own church. Last Sunday and next Sunday we'll have congregation-led services. So we are trying to use some of the material that we've now got from our own churches. Not a huge amount of news from the north end of the parish. We'll have had our plant sale and hopefully we'll have been seeing what a success that's been. So thank you if you've come along to that. Now over to Sheila in Kemney.
Good morning to everybody. Well, we've had our Christian Aid sale and it was successful. It was well attended and our plants sold well. And loaves and fishes were very busy with our soup and sandwiches, serving everybody. And there was a feeling of communion within the parish. It was good to also to see people from other churches attending the sale, including St Anne's and Kemney, and who were even helping at one of the stalls. So thank you to everybody who attended. The final total will emerge soon. And also, of course, we wish Suzanne well, who this weekend is doing her kilt walk. And we're still looking for donations, and that would be grand if you could help in that way. So I hope the service is enjoyable to all this morning, and we look forward to taking part. And I pass you back to Ewan in Clooney and Money Musk.
Thank you, Sheila. Clooney and Money Musk, this coming week, we will continue with mainly music. And then at the weekend on Saturday, we're having an afternoon of celebration for the Jubilee. It's as much a celebration of fellowship in the community as it is for the Queen's Jubilee, because we're having a walk around the village to think about the history of the community, a tour of the church, an afternoon tea, and one or two other things such as the bake-off. Three categories for children now, one category for adults to bake a cake, of which I'm being encouraged to bake for it. And you might see a video of me in our kitchen at some point in the near future as I'm trying to learn how to bake a cake. We also have making crowns for the children, and we're also having decorating plates, which is going to all the youth groups, all the children's groups in the area and beyond. So it looks like it's going to be a popular weekend on the Saturday, and then on the Sunday there's a community picnic in the park, so we're hoping for good weather. That's what's really happening in Clooney and Money Musk. But I said at the start that I would say something about our online services and blether. The team have decided that in June, July, and possibly probably August, we will stop doing the online service and blether on each of the individual congregations. We'll post links where people can live stream services or look at recordings of services. so that they can follow an online worship. And we will also post information what's happening in all the various churches, so you won't lose out. It's just that you are not going to see our lovely faces smiling at you every Sunday in church, but we are going to be visiting. We're going to start a rotation of ministers to other churches, not just to Blairdaff Chapel of Geary, in the way of getting to know people and getting to know churches. So we're looking forward to that, hopefully starting in June. So in the meantime, may God bless you in your worship. And as we tend to say in this service, this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it as we worship, whatever and however we do it. It's strange how times and fashions change. My opening prayer comes from a book that I've had for a number of years that says, with the title Prayers for Contemporary Worship. But when I look through the prayer book now, it's so, in many places, out of date. It's far from contemporary. But I found a prayer that I want to read to you, and I've adapted it slightly for our worship today. So shall we open our service in prayer? Let us pray. God, our Father, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. This we believe, but we scarcely begin to understand. We find your glory too great for words, yet we can see your glory. We see it in the wonder of creation. We see it in the life that you have given to us. We see it in the events of history. But most clearly, we see your glory in the face of Jesus Christ. So we can gather to join with all your people, past, present, and to come and say, Holy, 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 mighty Lord God, all space and all time and beyond show your glory, now and always. Heavenly Father, your love for us is without end, yet our love for you and for one another is often weak, often interrupted by self-centeredness, distrust, vindictiveness, jealousy. Whenever we come together to pray to you, we have to acknowledge that much of our lives deserves your displeasure, that our life together is too often disfigured by our selfishness and self-love. Forgive us, we pray, and restore us to fellowship with you and with one another, for Jesus' sake. Lord God, whatever may happen to us or to our world, you have put your Spirit in our hearts. You have called us your children, so we can turn and call you Abba, Father. Help us, Father, to put our full trust in you, irrespective of what the future may bring, knowing that your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And enable us to live as the family of your people, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Our reading today comes from Matthew 19, verses 16 to 26, reading from the New Living Testament. The rich man. Someone came to Jesus with this question: "Teacher, what good deed must I do to have eternal life?" "Why ask me about what is good?" Jesus replied. "There is only one who is good. But to answer your question, if you want to receive eternal life, keep the commandments." "Which ones?" the man asked. And Jesus replied, "You must not murder, you must not commit adultery, you must not steal, you must not testify falsely. Honour your father and mother. Love your neighbour as yourself." "I've obeyed all these commandments," the young man replied. "What else must I do?" Jesus told him, "If you want to be perfect, go and sell all your possessions and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." But when the young man heard this, he went away sad, for he had many possessions. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "I tell you the truth, it is very hard for a rich person to enter the kingdom of heaven. I'll say it again, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God." The disciples were astounded. "Then who in the world can be saved?" they asked. Jesus looked at them intently and said, "Humanly speaking, it is impossible. But with God, everything is possible." Thanks be to God for the reading of his word.
It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. It's one of the best known sayings of Jesus, and it appears in three out of the four Gospels, in Matthew, Mark, and in Luke. But famous though these words are, it might just be that we've actually got our camels muddled up with our ropes. Let me explain. Cultural interpretation is a big thing with biblical scholars nowadays, and for obvious reasons. As soon as you understand something about the culture or language or the practices of biblical times, so do many more things start to make sense. It's a way of throwing light on scripture. And until we have some understanding of what life was like at that time, we can only read scripture through the prism of our own experience and from the vantage point of the present day. For centuries, one of the accepted interpretations of Jesus' words was that he was referring to a small gate set into the walls around Jerusalem. When the larger gates into the city were closed for security, for example, as they would be at night, the small gate would still have allowed passage for people who legitimately had a reason to be crossing from one side of the wall to the other. Being small, so the theory went, the gate was known as the eye of the needle. And obviously it would have been impossible for a camel to go through the gate, or at least without first having been stripped of all its packs and of whatever it was carrying, if it could get through at all. It was a very convenient explanation, but these days that interpretation is contested. And historians and scholars think that probably the most likely interpretation of things is that what we have here is a linguistic mix-up. We've noted before that when some Greek words are translated into English, the nuance of what was meant by the original Greek word can sometimes be lost, and probably this is one of those situations. We'd never know it from our translations in English. For us, a needle is a needle by and large. But it turns out that Matthew and Mark use one particular Greek word for needle, whilst Luke uses another. Both words refer to needles that would be used in sewing, but the word that Luke uses is for a needle that would be more likely to be used by a doctor than by a tailor or a seamstress. and it's probably not that surprising. Then there's the word for camel. The Greek word for camel is camelos, with an I, camelos. But some late New Testament manuscripts actually use the word camelos with an E. And camelos means a cable or a rope. Now, if camelos is correct, there's a really nice, neat logic there that would have been universally understood at the time, and for that matter now. Clearly, it's impossible to thread a piece of rope through the eye of any needle. So Greek has a word for camel and a word for rope. But interestingly, in Aramaic, camel and rope are one word and not two. And a theory offered for why that came about was that some rope used to be made using camel hair. In the Talmud, the Jewish law, there's actually a similar saying to the one that we're all familiar with, but it uses an elephant instead of a camel. Who can make an elephant pass through the eye of a needle? So the suggestion that something can clearly be absurd or improbable wouldn't have been that unfamiliar to people at that time. No one can say for sure how the sayings came about, but some scholars have noted that the camel was certainly the largest animal that was common in Israel, whereas in some of the areas where the Babylonian Talmud was written, the elephant was the largest. In short, meaning and language and association develop over time. It's all just interesting to think about. I think considering these things, turning them over in our minds, give us insight and offer a different dimension to our understanding. One thing that's beyond dispute is that the people listening to Jesus would have believed that wealth and prosperity were a sign of God's blessing. That's what they were taught. That's what they would have understood from their reading or hearing of the texts in Leviticus and Deuteronomy. That means that they would have been flabbergasted by what Jesus said. And their logic would have gone something along the lines of, if what they had or what they possessed was evidence that God had blessed them, which is what they believed, and blessed them because of their faithfulness, which is what they would have been taught, that if they couldn't even get to heaven, how were other people supposed to get to heaven? If it's self-evident to you that God has favored you, or you believe that you've somehow earned God's favor and blessing, and someone tells you that that's not enough to guarantee you entry into heaven, it's going to shake the certainties of your internal world. I think what we're supposed to hear in all of this is not that money is the root of all evil, but that with God, nothing is impossible. What we're being told is that salvation is impossible by the usual measure of human standards and is offered to us only out of the breadth of God's love and mercy. We're meant to pick up on the paradox between what we think is possible and what actually turns out to be impossible. My personal feeling is that across the centuries, the church has sort of hijacked this passage. It's frequently peddled the idea, and very often unhelpfully, that wealth is a barrier to salvation. And no doubt it can be, but no more surely than many of the other things in life that we covet or become obsessed with, or we somehow think will give us power or security or an advantage over others. We can't buy or earn God's favor. And yet God's grace is enough to embrace every single part of who we are. And to finish, a thought, another Jewish saying, which is worth quoting because of the wonderful image that it conjures up. The Holy One said, opened for me a door as big as a needle's eye, and I will open for you a door through which may enter tents and camels. Holy One said, open for me a door as big as a needle's eye, and I will open for you a door through which may enter tents and camels. In other words, from the little that we offer to God, God will always create the conditions for great and wonderful and miraculous things to happen. Jesus himself reminds us, with God, all things are possible.
Shall we pray together? To our Heavenly Father, we want to thank you because you are God. We want to thank you, Son of God, as we bow in adoration. Lamb of God, you light up our world with your glory. We bow in adoration, basking in the warmth of your saving grace and exalting your name. We want to thank you, our Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We want to thank you as we are basking in the eternal light and exulting in the powerful glory of your radiance. Our Lord, give us life. Since there are times we don't live life the way you wish us to, when pain is us in its grip, we may give in to the gloom of pacifism. We thank you for the General Assembly, which went well. We want to thank you, Lord, for all the deliberations and resolutions which were made, which need to be implemented by the leaders in parishes, by the leaders in congregations, by the leaders in committees. It is our prayer, my Father, my God, that you give them the spirit of wisdom, discernment, and even understanding as they implement. We have got our fellows who are not feeling well. We are praying to the Lord who is a healer. We pray that, Lord, you stretch your hand of healing and heal them. We also continue to remember the people in Ukraine and the surrounding countries as they are offering help to those people who have nowhere to put their heads. We have got nothing to put on their table because of the war. We pray for your protection, provision, and even guidance. As the church is doing many adjustments, we pray for your church, for the people to remain faithful to you, God, observing your word as the key compass to everything that we do. For these and other things, Lord, we pray in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
And now may grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit rest upon you and remain with you and with people everywhere, now and always. Amen.